Hello. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get this meeting started. So first on the agenda is roll call. So Ashlyn, if you could just.
Our two candidates, Rebecca. Montai, this is Ariel.
Here.
Madeline.
Here.
Leah.
Here.
Okay, physical science and engineering, Casey.
Here.
Della.
Here.
Cody.
Here.
David.
Here.
Professional school, Wade.
Here.
Vet school, Abby. Oh, yeah. Amanda.
Here.
Alicia.
Here.
Dean Juan. Social sciences, Michael.
Yeah.
Megan.
Here.
Megan S.
Here.
Okay. Jeremy.
Here.
Masters, Victoria.
Here.
And, Everett.
Thank you very much. So we'd like to move on to the next part of the meeting, which is approval of the minutes. So the minutes are in the packet and they were sent in the email. Are there any motions to change the minutes or anything that is there that you guys want to change? And seeing none, there's been a motion to approve the minutes. Is there a second? There's been a second. Okay. The meetings, is there an objection? The meetings, the minutes for the meetings for the October 21st are approved as they stand. Okay, and the next part of our meeting is the presentations. And for tonight, we have Alexa Cohn, who will be guiding us through the presentation on what is a resolution. So let's get that started. Let me get that. Ashley, can you help me? Just to make sure I have this back. And I think I need to log on to my this is all happening. I can't even find the cursor. Can we notice them? Let me turn off the lights.
Hello, what are you doing?
And then I need to get Alexa's presentation, which is I think in the open this back to.
It's actually kind of hard.
Thank you for your patience. So let's back this. Yeah, perfect. Thank you so much. I think it might be easier to use. Okay.
All right, so I'm just going to give a quick presentation on the black box that is a resolution, because we've had a lot of people ask us questions about it, and we just want to make sure that everyone is aware that this is how it works, and if they want to write a resolution, they know what to do. So the first thing you should always do when you're writing a resolution is to first identify the issue. And once you identify that issue, you want to make sure that this issue hasn't already been represented in a different form of a legislation. So you can actually find all of the past 12 years of resolutions on the Assembly's website at archive.assembly.cornell.edu. And if you go on that website and you see that the issue that you're interested in isn't there, you should then engage stakeholders for more information. So this would be relevant administrators, people who would be affected by the resolution, relevant faculty and staff. And then once you consolidate all of that information, you have to basically go through a decision tree and decide whether or not there is enough information to write the resolution or there isn't. So if there is, you should present this information to a committee to see if maybe that resolution could be accomplished internally without an actual resolution. Or if it isn't able to be done within a committee, you can present it to the General Assembly. If you don't have enough information, you should continue reaching out to other relevant stakeholders or determine if an on-campus office or if a committee is already doing the work or is able to do the work and doesn't require a resolution. Also, Gina was so kind to actually make a PDF of a decision tree for how to write a resolution and what you should be doing when you write a resolution. And I'll send that out after the meeting. So if you're interested, there is a template on the Office of the Assembly's website that you should follow about how to write a resolution, with all the fancy whereas and be it resolved. And then if you decide that you're ready and you've done all this information gathering, you should email your resolution directly to me. And I would need this the Friday before a meeting so that I can send it out with the agenda when I send it out on Friday. So the whole overall process of a resolution within the Assembly is we have two separate meetings where we will discuss the resolution. So in the first meeting, you will just introduce the resolution itself, and usually that'll be done by having the sponsor come and give a brief background on why this resolution is important and a summary of what they're trying to achieve with it. And then the general body will ask them questions and the sponsor will answer them. And then usually the resolution is tabled according to our bylaws. In the second meeting, potential changes to that resolution can be brought up and then voted on. So if somebody wants to make a change to a spelling error in the resolution, all of the voting members have to approve that spelling change. And once all of those changes have been approved or not approved, sometimes they aren't approved, the resolution is called to previous question and then voted. And then once the resolution is approved, it gets up to Martha Pollock. So it's really, really important that when we write a resolution, that we really put our best foot forward and we do all of the research we need to do on that resolution, because it's a really big deal to have this direct line of communication with the president of the university, and we want to make sure that we use that privilege wisely. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
I'll go ahead and start the speaker to you. And so if you hand or placard, if you want to pass the list.
Remind me what the process looks like if you want to decide that you want to vote on a resolution.
So if you want to vote on a resolution the week that it's introduced, we have to suspend our normal rules, and that requires a two-thirds vote of the voting.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Alexa. Find the picture. Okay, so we're back. Okay, thank you very much, Alexa. Next, we'd like to move on to the next part of our meeting, which is at the division breakout. So Alexa will tell you where you need to go. And then after that, I think she has special instructions.
Yeah. So first, before we break out, I just wanted to say that we're going to try something new today because we've had a couple of requests to kind of hear what's going on in different divisions. So after the division breakout, division chiefs, if you could just give a brief summary of what the people in your division said. And if there are any questions, people can ask the different division teams about that. So first would be the professional schools, and they'll be up front with Alicia. Then would be the social sciences, which will be over to my right with Michael. And then the humanities over to the left with Becca. The life sciences in the middle with Leo. And then the physical sciences will be out in the back with Doa.
It's fun once, then it can stop.
Oh, I have.
They dropped to 50 and a half.
It's fun. I'm enjoying it. I like the theme of Sunny.
This was a cold
small. There's no such thing.
Warmer than last year. I think. Feels warmer than last year.
That's right.
There was snow on Halloween last year. So.
There was. Yeah.
Outrageously high salary doesn't happen. know when meetings are.
The name of my law, I was wondering. Technically, I'm on the Johnson Trust.
Yeah.
Which people are very upset about. I'm in Johnson. Johnson's Iceland and so it's not school.
It is, but it wasn't. It wasn't until something like a few years ago. Well, you know, what human ecology refers to is humans in studying humans in an ecological context. So, trying to look at human.
Yeah, is that
what
that is?
My undergraduate
anthropology. Make note that this is also Bridgeview undergraduate. Okay. Well, I'm not sure if you know this, but the state counties or no the Arkansas sort of
and in that.
Yeah, well, I'm not there. What's known as contrary ecologists are actual entities of the state.
ILR,
and those, right, as a result, it's just, you wonder why there are some randomly seeded seedlings because when they created the system, and then they grew these problems. So even though say, human development is a cycle, it's still getting along to the people who
are
as more skills in 1868.
For a farm school, an ag school, and that New York put their money to.
But we're that's already, for our ag school?
Yes, the vet school, ILR.
Vet school, ILR. The human ecology. There it is. I'm just grabbing
it. Another one. Yeah.
I feel like all the churches.
Yeah, they're super silent. Yeah, it's like eight little tiny colleges with colleges.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I got
some little things. Yeah, like, I
have a decent amount of lapos right overlap with undergrads right now. Yeah, and they're in the hotels.
That's true. If you're possible, you feel sad.
I mean, I'm an engineer. I'm going to tell you, there isn't
Yeah, it's not a good atmosphere. You don't want me to go. Well, you should, but don't go hang out in the library.
You say, like, in terms of places to watch,
correct.
It's a great place. It's kind of fun.
Mr. Wade, really just and then if you have to put the face to Mr. Wade, this brings joy to my heart. It certainly isn't me. Yeah, well, I don't look. It isn't me. That's all I can play. Oh,
yeah. We're all in law school. This is grad school.
He already knows what I am.
So,
I'm the MA. As long as you count my bones, I don't give a tip. One way or the other. Thank you.
Thank you all. I'd like to go ahead and resume the meeting. So next on the agenda, we have a discussion of the division breakout. So if I could have the division chief give a verbal update on what the happenings of the division breakout happened. So we'll start off with the professional school. Alicia, can you give us a verbal update of what you discussed at the division breakout? And in terms of the discussion, as far as the questions, what was that? Thank you so much.
Okay, so our thoughts were, we think that the
Division
3 situation would be the event of the passing of the undergrad should be addressed, and it should come from the sort of the layer events, they don't necessarily need to be addressed. So that's kind of where we're at. And we think that we should address the current health community in general.
Okay. Any questions for Alicia or the professional schools about her comments? Okay. Social sciences?
We ended up getting more questions than new answers. But some of the things that came up was there's a formal versus an informal way of responding to these events. So it might be a media statement on social media versus having a formal statement which you could vote on. And how would be excited to be able to really get something on those things. Another question was just how to handle urgent situations when the time matters. In that case, can we wait 2 weeks or 4 weeks? We'd like to see some more guidelines on what cases. If we move as a body, set some guidelines would be helpful, and as the university as a whole sets guidelines, which events we discuss in the 20th. And then I would suggest it might be helpful to have something like a Google form assembly in which anybody can submit an idea or an issue that they might be the body to discuss.
Thank you very much. Any questions for social science? Okay, I'd like to move on to the humanities. Becca, would you like to do some of those people's
stuff? Sure. I have a few different types. Some of them are more questions than answers. So, first, we're going to talk about the question of do we need to clarify the specifics of what counts as a campus crisis and what counts as something worth responding to? Or should we leave it kind of active, which is then more case-by-case basis? But then, even if we do leave it on a case-by-case basis, who gets to decide ultimately what counts and what is the process for that? So we were kind of kind of talking about how it might be beneficial to have voting numbers, having some sort of agreement, although simply to discuss these issues in the first place and put them on the table. But this is adding another step to a already long process. Right now, it's really difficult, such as the example that we're going to talk about later, to do anything in a timely manner. I'm not really sure whether there are any provisions for more emergency type situations, but right now it takes about a month to get anything through and that's assuming that it's used. So adding another step to that isn't necessarily ideal. But we did also talk about how maybe the fact that it isn't as easy to do that it does take more time than some of the other governing bodies on campus isn't necessarily a bad thing because it does allow us to have more discussion, it does allow us to think a bit more. So that's also, I think, one of the things. We talked a bit about the lack of engagement from general graduate and professional students in this organization in general and how that makes it difficult for us to claim that anything coming out of our body is. The undergraduate student assembly is a bit more democratic in that it has campus-wide elections for most of their positions, whereas you simply aren't represented. Right? I think there's certain qualities that draw those of us who are here to come here, and I don't know that there's often times when people are from positions. Someone else running against them. They're often uncontested. And I think it's just different. And so I think we need to be careful about who we're speaking for. And finally, we started to talk about finding ways that we can collaborate with other graduate student bodies, including the student union. I know that there's an interesting history with telling us and the union. But I think that's a lot of a lot of issues that may come up in this system. I think that the expertise and the access to some of the formal governance structures of the GPSA provides can be pretty much complemented by some of the more political activity happening. And I think that instead of having that barrier to do that.
Thank you. Everett, do you have a question?
Just more of a thought, if I may. So I don't think you know this, but some of the people here do. This is like the sixth school university out of town, right? And two of the both UC flagships, University of Washington, UVA, and now here. And I think, and having seen various government structures exist, and I think the substantive difference when it comes to a graduate and professional student assembly, I think that was called GPSS versus the undergraduate institutions that exist in various places, is, or ones that are just consolidated, is that I know, like, Berkeley, for instance, has Brown-wide elections, UCLA does, University of Washington has its own system for a Senate where prospective senators have to get the names and student numbers of, it used to be 50, and I've heard that number changed, 50 students that they pledge to represent directly, and then turn that sheet in. But also their basis of like your residence community or student organization you belong to, things like that. Any graduate assembly, by its nature, and I've seen this in enough places that this seems to be the norm, I think, just because of how it is. All of us are in graduate and professional school for something in particular. We are preformed as it is. We don't necessarily, as a nature of how we come, why we're here, we are pre-selected in effect already. So yes, we may be siloed in my case, it's the best sort of representative structure you can have given the nature of how the practice is all.
And I guess we kind of talked about this a bit in our discussion as well,
that the limit is the structure. I think the limit is that we haven't done the work to engage more people in it. And I think that we have to acknowledge that the structure is different, and that as a result, it's not as easy to be democratic. But even simply engaging individual fields enough that there's even a vote to pick who represents them. Whereas in many, think of first year and they're just telling them, and you know, the reality, and I think that we can address that.
Thank you, Becca. We'd like to hear about physical science. Go.
So we think that if the topic is relevant, and relevant as in if we can debate, or if at least some segment of graduate and professional students say something about it, then there should be a resolution on it. And we think that anything that involves the community, and our community in general, involves the graduate and professional students. So that is the answer to the third question. And we think that if the voting members vote on resolutions, then it should say that this is GPSA voting members. So we think that any statement coming from GPSA should be as specific as possible. So if it is a person's opinion, it should say so explicitly that it doesn't represent the general bias opinion. But we don't think that any statement or resolution should be signed as general GPSA. We think it should be voting members. We also think that resolutions should be things that stay relevant, but that doesn't necessarily mean time. So we think that it should be a resolution if it is still a current issue or if it will make a change in any process.
Thank you. Any questions for Philip? No? And we'd love to hear from life science.
So yeah, I think pretty strongly that we should use our platform, the voice that we have, to make these sort of statements that advocacy is one of the main goals or jobs of this organization. But then of course, as has been pointed out by my colleagues, there are nuance or things that we think about each case. So there's definitely resolutions have to be addressed in many cases on a case by case basis. I realize it's a case about 10 times last time. I consider that an accomplishment. One of the things to think about, I think, is knowledge among voters. And that includes, I think, aspects of how other members are communicating their feelings. So we have that knowledge not only in the subject itself, but also on how it's affecting other people in the community. I think one we discussed about soliciting or getting sort of feedback from a broader audience, and that may be one role for GPSA or the reps, so that they can take resolutions or ideas back to their department and get feedback. So maybe that's one way we can be more informed and know that we're speaking for a larger audience themselves. There's also this idea that some of these issues may relate to circumstances of an individual, but there's likely a larger systemic thing that we're looking at, the institution or something else, larger societal view. And so we can, if we don't want to make a statement specifically advocating for an individual, we can certainly look at a situation and address these systemic issues there. But I think all of this is really tied to this notion of having information. And so we need to do a very good job of covering that basis. And I think, unless anyone else remembers, I think that.
Thank you. I believe Alex has a question.
So, Leo, you made an interesting point in saying that advocacy is an important role in this organization. I would like to ask how you see the roles of the student advocacy community at the University of Massachusetts.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up. Thank you for asking. Jane actually mentioned during our breakout that we do have these committees, so we can address some of these issues before even getting to the resolution stage. And in fact, going through these committees that you mentioned would probably be a good route. They should be engaged in this because that's what they're going to address.
We need members.
We have members.
You have members.
Any other questions from you? Thank you all very much. We hope that was useful. So we'd like to move on to the next part of the meeting, which is the committee Q&A. So we're going to go through these pretty fast because we do have some new business. An open forum. So, executive committee, is there an update?
Yes. So, we're experiencing some problems with email. So, if you still are not receiving the email, please come here and let me know.
And if I may add, Alexa, you should be receiving two emails, minimum emails, the agenda and the meeting reminder.
Yes.
If you're not getting any of those, let Alexa know.
There's some sort of situation happening with the infrastructure, so I just need a list and I can email you.
Yes, go on. Yes. Can you wait? Oh, yes, it's a few minutes.
For the science of engineering, I have an email list, so I will just come back to it. So, and you don't need to.
That saves time. Operations.
Thank you. On the topic that we were just talking about, all staffing vacancies are my fault. So take your grievances to me. But having that said, just some quick updates. So all the one-on-one chair meetings are done. That option is open for anyone who wanted an individual transition document and help with their role. Secondly, I plan on sending out an operating digest and chair, for the entire body, and that talks about what our staffing number breakdowns are based on executive committee, voting members, field reps, external committee, internal committee. So it's very transparent to see where exactly our gaps are and what needs to be filled. Also, it's been going a little slower than I anticipated just because when I'm reaching out to all the organizations, not all of them are that responsive. So it's either going to take on in person or sort of emailing again, or I'm assuming that they're not active or they don't want to represent a member. But that is something that's in the process that I would like to transition by the end of this week. I was gone out of country for 10 days in the class, so there's been a big pause, but I promise I'll get back to it soon. So if anyone has any questions about staffing, just please let me know. Thank you.
Okay, next we have communication. No, okay. I'd like to move on to appropriations. Student advocacy.
We have a joint GPCI student advocacy town hall scheduled for near the end of
November 20th.
A few weeks, yeah. November 20th at I think either 5:30 or 6, about 5:30. There'll be more news to follow, but we do have stuff ready for that. It would be really good to get that to your constituents so we can get as many people out as possible. It's really important both for advocacy to get feedback from students about what kind of things they are dealing with on the ground right now, day to day, and also the GPCI really needs feedback for this important document that sets a lot of the what the grad school is supposed to expect and want for the next 5 years. So, about that, join my committee. Want to be an advocate? Email me jpk247.
Thank you, Darren. I'd like to step back and ask finance commission.
So, the next campus group has a scheduled for Tuesday, November 9th,
open house will be from 2 to 3:30 this Friday, and this is with Terry and John, who can help with campus groups. And that will be in Willard Street Park. So if you guys are interested, email myself or Esther. Any other? Okay, thank you very much. Diversity and international students.
Yeah, so a couple things. A reminder that we meet this semester at least Mondays, the same Mondays that we have GPSAMEs. I met this morning from 10:45 to 11:45 at Emerson Hall. So if you want to come to a district meeting, let me know. Last week we had a community conversation on democracy, free speech in Hong Kong. That was well attended, and we had a fairly productive dialogue about that. And we are in the process of planning our next community conversation, but the topic is yet to be determined, so I don't want to provide any details. It'll be likely the first week of December. On that same note about things we're working on that haven't gotten enough details to provide yet, is a What's Your Story event for this semester. Those are generally events where we bring in a more senior member of the campus community, in terms of being a part of the administration or being a senior professor, and having them talk about their experiences in graduate school often, but the pathway they took to get to their current position. So that's a way to sort of meet people and learn about them, and also learn about career goals and stuff like that. And just humanize people as well. And then for upcoming events that I actually do have details about, DISC is co-sponsoring the annual Diversity and Inclusion Renaissance Ball, which is being held this Saturday from 7 to 11 in G10 Biotech. And I included details about the event and how you can buy tickets online in the updates that I sent to operations. That's a fun event. Drinks, food, a live band, dancing, party, that kind of thing. Everybody's welcome. And then next Tuesday, the 12th, we'll be hosting the second Building Allyship Series event. This one focusing on uncovering the hidden curriculum for international students. And so that will be a panel of two international graduate students and then two domestic allies. One is a student, one is a staff member. And so they will be having sort of a discussion and sharing their experiences related to this hidden curriculum, and both how the students have experienced it, and then how the allies have been there as allies to provide support and things of that nature. So that should be a good event. I'll be sending an email to the whole GPSA listserv with the details and the RSVP and such for that. I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting, but it was in the update was, if I didn't say it right now.
Perfect. And there's all the updates are here. Yes, thank you very much, Eugene. Programming, Casey? No updates. Faculty awards?
No.
No updates, okay. General committee, Becca?
No updates. We have a meeting next week, so we need to find the next meeting.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. The grad school, Jen, is not here. GPCM?
So echoing what Jaren said, it's in the committee updates that are attached to the meeting. And the other thing I wanted to say was, if you haven't sent out the Google form that I made, if you could send that out, please. It's also in the committee update.
Thank you very much. And the UA delegates. Jeff, do you have anything?
Yeah, we're doing a meeting tomorrow. We're going to be talking a little bit more about some resolutions regarding our current working campus project. As many of you saw, we recently posted about a survey or a forum talking about smoking on campus. If you do have any comments you want to make, or you know, if you would like to, feel free to bring that up. We have over 300 comments now, and we're trying to relay information regarding that to the board in terms of the university assembly. And we are still looking for community members. So for any graduate or professional students who are considering wanting to do some work in various communities, reach out to me or any of the other UVA reps, and we can find out what you might want to do and what kind of community they have. Currently, all the communities are with grads. So please join.
Edward, did you have a question?
Oh, I just realized he's not the person I wanted to speak to because I realized the question I had was if we had had a representative of the undergraduate assembly. We had a question regarding their most recent meeting. That's not you want to share.
You don't have to, I think the toilet would be able to handle that.
Sorry.
James, do you have any additions to UA?
Should be an interesting meeting tomorrow.
I'm chairing tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Any other UA delegate?
Ceremony at the end of the spring semester for last year's award. That was to promote those winners. This year's winners will be German until until the spring semester.
Sure. I think the common thing I've heard in the past is that teams when they in fact win the awards, that's the first time they've heard of the awards when the team awarded it. And that you can take the opportunity of this kind of low-key fall semester, maybe the most important with a great little more general awareness among the student faculty population. That was just my
question. Okay, thank you. I think that just to promote the access of the award, like starting out.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk to me about ideas that you have, either talk to me after this or my email or my net ID. CJ259.
Thank you very much. Okay, now we can move on to the next part of the meeting, which are new business. We talked about resolutions and how to make them and what you need to do that. So now we have our second resolution, which is resolution 2, condemning the dismissal of Julia Feliz from the Cornell Alliance for Science Global Leadership Fellowship. Now, before I give the floor to Ariel, I would like to remind everyone to be civil during this discussion. Julia Feliz has preferred pronouns of they, them, and there. So I would like everyone to be respectful of that and to maintain cordiality and be respectful of each other's opinions. And this is an introduction to the resolution. So for now, it's just a Q&A. So if you have questions, make them be questions. They shouldn't be comments or a platform to say how you feel. Make sure that there's a question in your question. Thank you. I'd like to pass the floor to Ariel, who's the sponsor of this resolution, and I will also bring it up the resolution itself.
Is there a microphone?
It's not a battery.
Oh, okay, cool. I can stand anywhere then. Great. So, hi everyone. I'm Arielle Johnson. I'm a voting member and I represent plant biology. So, I'm introducing this resolution 2, which is condemning the dismissal of Julia Felix from the Cornell Alliance for Science's Global Leadership Fellowship. So, basically, what happened was there's this program called the Cornell Alliance for Science, like fellowship program. It's in CALS. It's not a graduate program. It's a fellowship program where participants come to Cornell's campus for a few months and learn about biotechnology and sort of how it can be applied in the developing world. So basically, Julia Feliz was a participant in this program. From their account, they experienced a racist incident. And then they made several requests from the coordinators of the program, which by their account were not met, And then there is sort of continuing pushback from the program when Julia continued to voice their concerns. And then eventually Julia was dismissed from the program for, and I'm quoting the email, for utilizing the classroom environment to discuss their satisfaction with the program. So the reason why I wanted us to bring this up as a grad and professional student assembly is that a lot of us are in positions where our advisor has a lot of power over us, our department has a lot of power over us. And we don't necessarily always feel comfortable bringing up issues in our own departments about, you know, racism, sexism, sexual assault, all of these issues are really hard to talk about when we feel that our advisors have power over us and that there can be repercussions for bringing up issues in our department. So basically, as a grad student, and I bet this is true for some professional students too, like hearing about a fellow who was dismissed from their program for bringing up issues with the program, that was really scary. And so basically, I know that the SA had a very contentious meeting about a resolution that was worded a little more strongly and delved into the racist incident itself, but I think that we should just, you know, make a statement sort of in solidarity with Julia as somebody who is in a position, you know, not of power and decided to bring up issues within their program and have repercussions for that. Whereas Cornell undergraduates, graduate and professional students, postdocs, and fellows should be free to critique their programs without fear of retaliation, be it resolved, the Cornell Graduate and Professional Student Assembly votes to condemn the dismissal of Julia Felice from the Cornell Alliance for Science program. So if you want more details about this incident, I should have attached the articles to the resolution, and I'm sorry, but they are also up on the Cornell Daily Sun, has a lot of reporting about this. And also, so Julia Felice's own Medium page has a lot of discussion of the incidents, but of course, you know, that's not necessarily an unbiased source coming from Julia themselves. So, but this information is publicly available. And I think that, you know, despite us not having information about necessarily some of the incidents in question, like, we really should make a statement saying that it's not okay for somebody who criticizes their program.
Anything else,
Ellie? I'm free to take any questions about this.
I will start the speaker series, and I would like to limit the time to 1 minute. And again, it's a Q&A, so there has to be a question embedded in that minute. I have to go up first.
Yes, you have
one. Thank you, Ariel, for sponsoring this. I wanted to ask you, I couldn't really find any information about this. Do you know if there was any other method of telling the whoever was in charge of the program that they were dissatisfied with some aspects of the program other than, you know, speaking up in the classroom?
So I don't have a lot of information about that because there's not a lot of public reporting about that. You can read Julia's account of it. I think from their account, there were some issues with like accommodations not being made for like their disabilities and like being able to have those meetings in the first place. I think there's definitely not sort of like an impartial account of what resources were provided to Julia.
I have no idea. I know who to talk to. There's a like a number of people that I go to, so I just wanted to know if there was no other option.
So I know, like, personally in my department of plant biology, we would go to the CAL's Dean for Diversity and Inclusion. But I'm actually not sure in general what other resources are out there. So if anybody has a comment on resources they know of, that would be really great to get out there. Because yeah, I definitely think that, like, you know, in addition to people not being able to bring up issues about systemic problems in their department, you know, there's not really, you know, another person to go to as like an authority or indicator.
Is it a response to that?
It is. Okay. So one of the issues is that I know a person involved in that, and one of the issues is that as a fellow of this program, they don't have the same rights as a student. I think that's one of the biggest discrepancies. It may not be the same kind of achievement plan that the person has access to. They may not be able to go to the ombudsman and file an anonymous. I don't actually know. It's a little bit different for them because they're fellow, but they're not even a student. They're strange fellow.
I wanted to know that. I'm not trying to put it that way.
So the way that this statement is currently worded is kind of like that's just of how the assembly feels. Do you want to add on language about what you want to see change in the future?
Yeah, so I currently don't have any action items, but I would definitely welcome input if anybody has any demands that we want to make in this. Definitely welcome comments and edits. Yeah, I couldn't think of anything that I specifically wanted done, or that I guess, so Julia does have a list of demands. I wasn't sure that they were, you know, things that we could get past here, or things that were like actionable in like a really direct way. I think in general, like, I want this statement to be something that we can agree on, like that, like, our, you know, that meets our values, like what the GPSA police, and like I really don't want this to be a contentious statement.
I have a way.
Yes. What are your thoughts on the conversation versus communication? Like, I don't know much about the situation myself, but it sounds like a lot of people are out there. Would it be perhaps worthwhile?
Yeah, that's a good demand that we could make. If you have language you want to add, you should totally add it. And yeah, I think, you know, that definitely is a point. You know, a lot of information is not out there about the situation right now, so we could definitely add a clause demanding more information from, I guess, from the university in terms of what actually happened in the situation and how the administrators made the decision to do.
Next, I have
Eugene. So my question is related to several of the previous points, and it's related to this issue of not having the information, but also wanting to have an actual step. And I think this goes back to what the life sciences division was talking about. So we're talking about addressing a systemic issue with when we're not necessarily able to address an individual situation. And so do you think there would be, and I'm assuming your answer basically, space to add an action item about finding or developing a protocol for handling situations like this with people that are not within the normal hierarchy of student, faculty, staff at the university. Because I think that's where people can fall into the cracks in this case that we did as a visiting fellow that is not student, faculty, or staff member, does not have. Maybe the office president does not have a dean or a HR rep or someone to go.
Yeah, I absolutely think that that's a good action item that we can add. And feel free to propose it.
I had Sam. Yes. I can't tell you anything. Thank you. I'd like to move on to Mike.
Just two quick questions. One is how much weight do you think we should place on the opinions of the other students who feel this good job? Student assembly, and largely, that's what I support of you
the second is stick module, more like what you mean by taking away visas. So my understanding is that Cornell could actually take away a visa that can be done by the US diplomatic mission or government body.
Right. I guess I'll answer the second one first. So that was an allegation that police made in a Medium post, that that was something that administrators had threatened to do to grab the program. Like whether or not they're able to do it, just, you know, having administrators like make that statement of power over you is a really concerning, I mean, you know, if true, it's a very concerning allegation. Sorry, what was the first question again? Oh yeah, the student assembly meeting. Yeah, and the fellows who were involved. So I was not there. I read the reporting on it. I definitely think that they had some very valid concerns. I'm just going to say I don't know the details of the situation. What I'm criticizing here is specifically that Felice was dismissed because they were using, you know, classroom time to critique their program. You know, whether or not there were disruption or that sort of thing, like I don't feel that I'm qualified to address, and I don't think we need to address here. But if like a stated reason for their dismissal was, you know, activism related to their own program, like I think that that's concerning. I think that we as an assembly should be talking about it. Yeah.
I have a few next.
I also would just like to get more information. Like, I kind of heard about this issue, maybe somewhere in the Cornell data side, and I just really need a lot more information. I don't know if that departs from the issue that you're discussing here. Like, I'm also uncomfortable with the school just throwing out people because they have disagreements, but I don't know the full story of what happened. I think DPSA should probably make a strong statement to the school that we would frown on to throw people out if they disagree with the way you do things. But again, I'm not sure what happens. I'm not well informed, so I don't feel comfortable saying one thing either way.
Yeah. I think that goes back to the point that was that way that you made the point that we could add an action item to request more information from the university about, you know, what were the circumstances that led to this, because there hasn't really been a lot of transparency from the university side on this.
One more thing that maybe say to follow up to that is just maybe some clarification procedure in place. Like, to me, it seems like this escalated rapidly.
Yeah.
That would happen, like, the university just would get drastic. That maybe clarification on, like, how did you go from this to wanting to get somebody out of the program? But again, I'm not sure what actually happened.
Okay. I have the form.
Firstly, thank you for taking the time to do this. I think it's very noble for you to step up and have a voice for someone who doesn't have a voice in our community. And so I speak on behalf of the MPA students representing that community, not of my exact position when I say this. So I know my constituents are going to be like, it would be unjust to make a decision that's not impartial and not based on complete information. So my question is, do you know if this information is not being shared because it's protected under something like Title IX, or is it just because it's being hit up?
I'm not sure that I understand the legal system as it relates to universities well enough to understand that. So if anybody has insights, definitely reach out to me. And again, like if we have an action item requesting information from the university, that would be really great to know. So we should all look into that. Yeah.
I had Jaron next.
I just had a point of clarification about visas. You know, a university can't revoke a visa, but it can either by firing you and removing your employment status or like removing your student status, effectively cause your visa to be revoked, especially in this political climate, when they call the State Department and tell them they did that.
Thank you, Jaron.
And I also just want to make clear that so this was commentary regarding faculty.
Right. So yeah. So
to
Yes, it does not have to do with Julia. It's sort of generally addressing the situation that it seems like these fellows don't have any power in terms of, you know, whether they're dismissed from the program for unjust reasons or not. Julia is from Puerto Rico and is very much a U.S.
Oh, yeah, it's not a question, but more of a comment, going back to the point about the peers in the program speaking in opposition in some way. I think that, I mean, this might also go back to the decision and other issues, that, in my opinion, you have to take that with a bit of a grain of salt, because you don't know what's motivating that speech. And if you're not in a position of power, or, again, not in a position to understand the whole situation, I think that's where we're being a little bit cautious here by trying to not speak for or against this particular situation, but more like the actions that we know are taken by the university, right? So I think that's a key piece to understanding how, in my opinion, we should approach this. And maybe some of these details that we're all talking about, we need more information, are less relevant than advocating for things that can be done to improve the system.
Did you think of a question in time?
Yeah, and is that where we want to go with this?
So, maybe Kevin.
My question actually relates to ways from how James, and I'm not talking legislation, and I do agree with the substance, but I am substantively concerned. My question is, did you think in terms of trying first to request more information about the situation? Because yes, the situation is concerning, but as the basis for it, certainly drive, I think, what our response should be as an institution.
Definitely. In general, like, more information about the situation would be great. I think I got a little wary after hearing or reading what happened at the SA meeting, where a lot of people were sort of called as witnesses, and things got very confrontational, and, you know, various people were being asked to speak about situations that had been very emotional. And so I think that, you know, in my mind, gathering evidence that way was not a good strategy. Definitely I could have reached out more to the university. And if anybody has, like, you know, suggestions of, like, good ways that we can do that, if we're thinking about passing this next time, in the meantime.
Nick, would you have some?
It's literally going to be the same question. Because I was asking, like, who did you reach out to the university? I don't think that anybody knows what
I did not. My A exam is in less than a week, and I reached out to the heads of DISC and SAC, but more for, like, how we could get comments from, like, UTSA members. And I think ultimately there wasn't enough time to, like, properly gather information and get this out to all of the appropriate channels before I had to turn this in on Friday.
As a council, I guess I have to pitch it. Historically, when we had an incident where there's been some both the incident itself and the structural things that it's in reveals, there's sometimes been two resolutions.
Mm.
One addressing the actual incident itself and the decision, and another potentially having made for change, right?
Yeah.
Do you think that is an avenue worth exploring?
Yeah, I think it totally might be. Part of me was really hoping that we could get some version of this that we all agree on passed today. Just because, you know, the SA resolution is on the president's desk, and, you know, we really, like, this is named the same thing as the SA resolution. We really just want to bring it to the attention of the administration that, you know, this is a current issue that, you know, people are concerned about on campus. So, but yeah, like from all of the discussion here, there's definitely a lot of sort of structural issues about people slipping through the cracks who don't have any power on campus. So yeah, I think, you know, we could definitely have two resolutions. That would be a good idea.
I have an
estimate.
Thank you for
investigating.
The university sent police an email that they were investigating the issue, but I'm not sure, you know, what exactly that entails and what officers are currently involved. Yeah.
I would say that the investigation issue reveal more information.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea too. We can add that to the, you know, list of sort of requests that we all have about, you know, getting more information from the university.
Alexa, do you want to motion to?
Yeah, I just wanted to motion to extend the meeting.
There's been a motion to extend the meeting by 5 minutes.
I was actually in the motion that we can do 7:15, but
we'll do Alexa's motion for it.
Yeah.
Is there a second motion? Okay, motion passed. Okay, I have a
motion.
Okay. It's okay. So just ask about it. Okay.
So I have
So on the assumption that we submit two resolutions, one to request more information and the other one to get.
Yeah,
but in that case, what is the thing that we would be presenting really? Is it that in case that Korea is so well because they were an activist?
Yeah, so actually, watching people leave right now, I think that we wouldn't have the votes anyway to be able to pass anything this week because we don't have the necessary votes to be able to suspend the rules, so it might just make sense to. Rather than having separate resolutions, basically just have a resolution that includes our action items next that we would vote on, that we would edit and then vote on next week. Next GPS meeting.
I'd like to backtrack a little bit. Is there a
there's also the discussion about the difficulties with power dynamics. And I know that in reading GPCI, especially the power dynamics and the relationship between incentivizers and advisees, it's highlighted in the GPCI, and there are action items there.
Yeah,
that have been
suggested. That's a great point.
In the mentoring program. And so I guess my question is, what is the true take-home message? It seems like there are a couple of things that we'd be voting on, we'd be advocating for in this, and also we have, it seems as though we're trying to establish other avenues for concern, and do we need something in addition to the GPSI, or,
yeah, actually, I'm wondering if that might be worth passing as a second, resolution, because yeah, like those action items are, you know, things that are on all of our minds, and I think it would be powerful if we like pass the resolution specifically on advising relationships. We could also have it be in the context of Julia Felice or not. I agree. What do you think would be the best way to go about that?
I think we want the administration to take it seriously and take our concerns seriously. I know she could buy something in the government, but I really see the value in that and those specific actions. And point, there seems to be several, it doesn't seem to have clear pieces, and some of the issues we have in other documents. So, do we need to just strengthen those other documents, or do we need a more clear resolution, a more clear thesis?
Yeah, so for me, yeah, the thesis would be the second to last whereas, so maybe that needs to be part of the be it resolved. I don't have a lot of experience drafting resolutions, but yeah, like what I currently consider to be the thesis is the second, the whereas Cornell undergraduates, graduate, and professional students, postdocs, and fellows should be free to critique their programs without fear of retaliation. That is why I think we as an assembly would want to condemn this business. So yeah, definitely would accept any like revisions that you'd want to make on the wording to make that more clear that that's
what. But just to confirm, we kind of confirm from the administration.
That's correct. What I'm quoting here is the dismissal email that was sent to Julia. So it represents, you know, at least what the official position of some part of the administration was.
I'm actually, I'll make the motion to extend the special time by 10 minutes.
Okay, there's been a motion to extend the time for 10 minutes.
Second.
There's been a second. There's a second.
Wilson's.
I have exhausted this.
Oh, never mind. I myself want to speak.
Are you rescinding the motion?
No, I'm not rescinding the motion. I'm making the motion so that I can turn speak again. Because if I'm exhausted, be exhausted.
Okay,
speak
second.
There's been a second.
All right, yeah. So, I think what Nick Wade is now after me is still here. Would you at least accept an amendment to this resolution such that it is more interrogative in asking for additional, a query asking for more information versus flat accusative, which may be counterproductive?
Definitely. Like I've said, that's definitely like an action item that we can amend onto this next time, is, you know, asking the administration for more information, and possibly, like Esther said, maybe even asking for an investigation into what exactly happened here.
So I think in general, this discussion is one of which is for us to kind of figure this out what you next time. And in generality, when we go through resolutions, what typically happens with students that discuss the resolution. My question for the voting members who are directly part of the decision making process, how do you want to see that process go forward with people? Do you want to evidence regarding the resolution available in the agenda prior to the meeting? You want to see more of that discussion show up in the act itself, just because obviously this is our first time really workshopping something like this with this group of people, and I'm curious how you want to put it. Just, you know, probably all these different things in my mind that you can have to do, but do people find it better that we have this information laid out before the initial meeting? And then we have an honest discussion on both resolutions. Actually, on the resolution, the following. That's my question.
Just one clarification. You're saying to have the information ready for the next meeting, not extended.
Well, definitely for this.
Or,
yes.
You know, like for example, would it have been helpful if we attached some like Cornell Fund article to the the agenda. Like, I think, you know, after that was brought up in our, like, section discussion, I was like, oh yeah, that would have been a great idea if I had done that, and I didn't think of it. I think that's more of what Jeff's trying to ask here. Like, procedurally, like, what information do the voting members need to be able to make an informed decision? Like, they need it.
Yeah, so I guess my question is, with the information, can we just add footnotes supporting, like, where did we get that quote from the person who asked? Where do we have, it's a reverse to publish information, can we just have a footnote link to that? Mm-hmm. Would that be helpful to the body in at least having what's publicly available information at this point? If that's deemed to be a necessary part of understanding the situation, which may or may not be relevant to the action that the body takes at the end of the day.
Is there like a precedent of that being done on other resolutions? Yeah,
yes.
It's been done.
Absolutely.
Okay, awesome. I am just not that familiar with this. Okay, great. We can add those for next time, like append those.
Which is why we have the conversation on how to make resolution one of these to the convention for the last day. I have a call yet, last, and I will be the last.
Yeah, to sort of answer that question, I just like stuff to be representative of both sides, and also if it's impartial, if we can. So if you do have op-eds, I just want to see op-eds from two different sides.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That exhausted the list. So, yes.
Motion to skip open forum.
There's been a motion to skip open forum. Is there a second?
Second. We will be open forum the next meeting.
So we've been, there's been a motion to adjourn the meeting. Is there a second?
Second. I know, I was like, why am I the only person that proposes this? But I got like,
I guess. But it was simple.
You are very proud of you. You are very
happy. Hi. Good. I'm David.
I'm Andrew.
Nice to meet you.
I'm a master's here.
It's like a meeting. I heard there was a master's at large.
Thank you. It's probably the same one as every week, isn't it? Maybe it's just your.
Thank you.